First of all, a special thank you to all of our wonderful school kids for helping us out at these weekend masses as we begin Catholic Schools Week and have our open house later today. You're all doing such a wonderful job reading. It's nerve-wracking, isn't it, being up here looking at everyone? It's not as easy as it looks. That said, I realized I had forgotten that today was we were going to do Catholic Schools Week and kind of the kickoff, and I probably would have taken a different approach to my homily if I had remembered that, but I don't choose the readings either, so it is what it is. But I hope that my homily, is at least the format of it, is set up in a somewhat of a case study of our gospel. For we can hear these stories of Jesus driving out unclean spirits and demons and have a difficult time knowing what to make of them. For one, they appear very fantastical, as our Gospels can sometimes be like a Hollywood's theatrical depiction of possession and things of that sort. But another difficulty is our growing knowledge of mental and psychological conditions that can seem to explain away many of the demonic manifestations that we hear about in the Gospels. For example, in today's gospel, did Jesus simply heal this man of a mental illness rather than drive out an unclean or demonic spirit? Now, my response to all of this is maybe the cop-out answer of, I think it's a little all of the above. Certainly speaking to our exorcist here in Milwaukee, I have heard secondhand accounts of encounters which cannot be explained as psychological, combined with two personal experiences where I encountered what I can only explain as real evil, I'm certainly convinced that what we hear in the Gospels are more than just a healing, although that does happen as well. At the same time, though, most of our personal encounters with perhaps the dark side are not intense moments that we see in Hollywood or we hear about in the Gospel. But we encounter them through these everyday temptations. And it is in these lesser, less fantastical encounters I wish to focus on today, while also showing that the encounter in the gospel is not as far off from our own experience as we might think. For all of us know what it is like to have an unclean spirit within us. We actually know them quite well by their names: pride, greed, wrath, envy, lust, gluttony, and sloth. These deadly sins, from which all other sins flow, are much more than a mental illness that can be solved with medication. If that were so, even the second step of AA would not be to call on a higher power for help. Now, obviously, we first try and find the rational solution to some of these things before the supernatural ones. That said, though, which one of these spirits has found a home in our heart, we know from experience that it is not enough to learn how to live with them. We very quickly learn that we must drive them out from our life. And when we try to do this, when we try to drive them out on our own, very quickly we learn that we have no such authority or power to do so. We're actually quite powerless with them. We have become their slaves, and they are our masters. For the spirits of pride, greed, wrath, envy, lust, gluttony, and sloth do not respond to the authority that comes from humans, only the authority of God. And yet even they resist as best they can this authority. And now we get to the case study of our gospel of Jesus and this man with the unclean spirit. And again, my hope is that in this case study, we learn that what happens between Jesus and this man does and can happen to us in the hidden place of our heart. And some may be more theatrical and some may be more subtle, but the process remains the same. And so I invite all of us to have at the forefront of our mind that unclean spirit that we are perhaps struggling with, of greed, pride, wrath, envy, lust, gluttony, or sloth. And so then, having that in mind, let's jump in. We begin with the initial encounter between the man and Jesus, and we hear it happens as they draw closer to one another. The man shouts out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" Now, much can be drawn out from this question. And the first is that the spirit gets louder the closer the man draws to Jesus. The reason for this is being found in his first reaction, that this is a reaction of fear. That the spirit has this, the closer he gets to Jesus, the more he is being realized that he can be getting rid of. In addition, the spirit realizes that this fear is well-founded. For Jesus, unlike the man the spirit possesses, actually has the authority and power to destroy it. And so the spirit recognizes that Jesus is a threat. And in our own life, we can encounter this reaction as well, that the closer to Jesus that we draw, the louder the unclean spirits in all of our hearts becomes. This is why at times we find it easier to keep our distance from Christ, because the closer we get to him, those unclean spirits we have been avoiding makes their presence known more and more clearly. This shouting out of the Spirit can shock us and surprise us and cause us to withdraw from Christ, which is, of course, what the Spirit wants, because it knows that unlike us, Christ has the authority and power to drive them out from us. And so this initial shout from this unclean spirit is one of both self-defense, but also one to try and get that man to back away from Christ. And that we can also begin to see and believe the lie that Jesus is a threat to ourselves as well, because we realize that we're going to have to enter into this difficult battle and maybe have to change. In addition, the fear of the unclean spirit can become our own. Having lived with this spirit for so long, we can have a fear of what our life looks like without it. And so as we, like the man in the gospel, continue to take steps towards Christ, the spirit begins to speak to us more boldly and tries to deepen that fear. He will speak to us, what will our life look like without pornography? What will our life look like without the food that we gluttonously eat? What will our life look like without the material possessions that we envy? What kind of weak person will I become without my wrath or my pride? These spirits challenge us with the question, so you think you can live without our friendship? What are you going to do when you're stressed and depressed? When you're feeling weak and powerless? We who have been your safety net, your outlet. We who have been there for you when you are down. How dare you think that you can free yourself from us? After all, who are you going to turn to if you cannot turn to us? And so louder and more convincing the Spirit becomes as we continue to take one small step forward towards Christ after another, continuing to try to convince us to turn back. Until if we are able to confidently and slowly and courageously keep moving towards Christ, we finally get close enough to hear his voice, one with authority far beyond our own. Quiet, come out of him. With one last shuddering cry, kicking and screaming, the spirit is finally driven out, to be replaced with a blissful silence. In the second half encounter between the man and Christ, we learn that it is only Christ who can drive these spirits out, but they will also go with a fight. One last attempt to scare us away from Christ and retreat us to our former habits. Now the good news is that all we need to do is continue to be walking towards Christ, to stay with him, for he is the one who does the work. He is the one who will drive them out if we simply stay close to him. The beautiful fact of that is when he does, we encounter that beautiful silence in our hearts without the voices of those spirits lying to us. So all of us have, on some level, one or more of these spirits within us. And we may have been avoiding them or scared away by their shouting at times. But let us, from this case study, take courage from the man in the gospel and take step after step to him. And we too will be amazed at the authority and power of his words. Quiet, come out of him.